Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, this is the I Am Rappaport podcast. And as I told you, I'm deep into my fantasy shit, and I just found out about this app on Reddit the other day called Sleeperbot. Sleeperbot, B-O-T. I highly recommend you check this out now if you're into fantasy sports, and do not tell the other people in your league. Sleeperbot will send you the first alerts, the best alerts and updates about injuries and roster changes that will help you kick ass in fantasy sports and fantasy football. They were the first ones to break important information the first week of the NFL season, and they've been doing it all season long. There's chats, there's shit-talking places for crazy people like me and you. It's called Sleeperbot, S-L-E-E-P-E-R-B-O-T, and it works on iOS, Android, and every other kind of phone or device you have, right? Trust me, check it out and enjoy all the information.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm pretty sure that one of the first emergency podcasts that we ever did on the I Am Rappaport podcast show was in reference to losing the fantasy football to Gary Delabonte. And that was last season. The fuck, motherfucker, he won. I got over it. It was fine. I did great. It wasn't as bad. But this losing to him in the fourth week of the season this year, and just a few weeks ago being in front of him where he won his fucking bullshit shitbox Howard Stern Fantasy League trophy, and you know he's got his fucking shit eating grin and having to fucking suffer all weekend because it was a hard fought battle, and but somehow this fucking primate simian Italian fucking monkey olive oil drinking motherfucker, he got me again this fuck. And I'm pretty sure that. And then he taunted me all weekend, and that's the thing that some people don't know about this fucking gorilla, is they think he's just a harmless, oh, it's fa-fa-foo, it's all fun and games. He fucking cyber-shamed me, and he fucking cyber-bullied me all weekend. And I know I probably set him off the other day when I asked him. I just asked him a regular question because I was just curious, and I felt like, and then they were like, oh, you're being offensive. I said, have you ever did measurements on your gum to tooth ratio? I asked him that, and I don't think he liked that. And now he to have to face this fucking monkey, and he's going to be so, he's passively aggressive, passively aggressively smug. It was so close. I had that fucking monkey pinned. I had him fucking tied to the cage, throwing fucking peanuts at his fucking face and mocking the monkey, mocking the gorilla, teasing the animal. So, yeah, that's what happened in fantasy football. I lost to the gorilla. I lost to Fafafui, to Mama Monkey, to Tatatuthi. Fla-fla-fooey, fla-fla-flunky. I don't know. I don't know how to fucking get to it. I don't know how to fucking process it. Thank God I'm far away from the animal. Thank God I'm not around him. I think I almost bursted a fucking blood vessel in my head during the second half of the game. Cheer it for the fucking team. My team, Rappaport's Delight, a.k.a. There Will Be Blood, a.k.a. A History of Violence. But we just couldn't fucking pull it out today, you know? We just couldn't pull it out. And you got to accept the losses with the pain, and you got to be a good winner and a good loser. But this fucking ape, do not be fooled by Gorilla. Do not be fooled by him, okay? You know, do not feel bad for him, okay? When he's taunted and when he gets banana peels thrown at him, do not feel bad for this fucking flunky fuck. So this is I hate to start the fucking Ian Rappaport podcast with this. I hate to start the show with this, but it is what it is. We lost. Okay, I lost my game today. So that's it. That's it. I don't know what to tell you. That's it. Okay, I'm sorry. What else are we getting into? We're going to be doing all kind of shit this week. I'm calling G Moody. And the listeners, I really want the listeners of the Ian Rappaport podcast. He doesn't know that I'm saying this. We're going to call him later because he's in the South Bronx studio. The Gloom Tomb has a studio in the Bronx. He set up his personal studio there. I'm somewhere else this week. But I really would like anybody who listens to the Ian Rappaport podcast, who's on Twitter, to urge G Moody, a.k.a. the Black Ed McMahon, to please go get a fucking physical. Okay, G Monetti is 45, or is he 46? He's either 45 or 46. No, he's 46. No, he's 45. He's going to be 46. He has not gotten a proper physical in years, over 20 years. Seriously. Now, most of you have never seen G Moody in real life, but he's you would think, oh, he's in pretty good shape, but you still need to get a physical. So I want the fans of the Ian Rappaport podcast to start harassing him on Twitter, publicly harassing him. It's come to that. For G Monetti, G Moody, a.k.a. the black Ed McMahon, to get a physical. Please, you guys, harass this motherfucker. We need to publicly shame him to get a physical for his best interest. We need to publicly shame him. He needs to get his prostate checked. You know, everybody needs to do it. When you're over 40, you need to start checking your body out. He needs to get his prostate checked, his liver checked, his whole thing. Yes. Do I want him to go through the whole process of getting his prostate checked? Yes. Because every man should have to submit to that. It's not fun, but it's just part of being a grown man. So I'm asking the fans to start harassing this fucking guy. And this is the Ian Rappaport podcast, and we'll be right back after this little beat right here. All right, before we go any further, I got to tell you that DraftKings
is the shit. You do not have to play fantasy football for 16 weeks to get paid and win some real money. Go to DraftKings.com and start playing 1 week fantasy football. That means you could play 1 week, skip 4 weeks, and then play for one more week. But if you play 1 week, trust me, you're going to want to keep playing. DraftKings.com, okay? Now you can enjoy football even more. That's what happened to me when I started playing fantasy football. I started loving the football even more. I started paying attention and learning about players throughout the league. Not just for men either. Men and women can enjoy it. This means every week you can play as many games as you want, create as many lineups as you want, and start turning your love of football into a chance to win some serious, serious money. People are winning millions of dollars. Pick your players, start piling up the points, and pick up your fucking cash. Go to DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, and start playing for free. DraftKings.com. It's the Ian Rappaport Podcast. All right, so it's the Ian Rappaport Podcast, and I highly I don't know how you even pronounce this movie, and I'm about to highly recommend it. I don't know if it's Sicario or Cesario, but it's spelled S-I-C-A-R-I-O. It's a film. It's starring Emily Blunt and Josh Brolin and, really, I have to say, the great Benicio del Toro, who's my man, my friend, somebody who I respect immensely, somebody who I've worked with, and I've always known he was great. I think everybody always knew Benicio was special. When we were younger, we worked together on a movie called Money for Nothing with John Cusack, which was a great story, just not a great movie. Benicio, he needs no real introduction. He's been in Traffic. He's I think he won an Oscar for Usual Suspects. It was either Usual Suspects or Traffic. But he's just a fucking pure actor. Totally unique, one of a kind, unpredictable, and I mean that in the best way in terms of as an actor. You never really know how he's going to say a line or how he's going to do a character. He's just very fucking good, and I would love to get him on the Ian Rappaport Podcast. He's a quirky, shy motherfucker. I'll tell that to his face. He knows that. He's bugged out. Puerto Rican, and I mean, the movie's great. You should definitely check out, I don't know how to fucking say it. It's Sicario? I think it's Sicario. Sounds better than Cesario. Anyway, it's in theaters now. I just saw it the other day in Los Angeles at the Dome Theater, which is really the fucking, if you're going to go see a great movie and you get a chance to see it in a great theater, pay the money and go see it in a great theater. I hate going to the movies and having just fucking shitty sound, shitty seats, uncomfortable seats. Like, I'll pay the extra $2 or $3 for the ticket to have a great theater experience. And the Dome Theater in Hollywood, I have to say, the actual Dome at the Arclight is probably the best movie theater to go see a film at. Every city these days seems to have a great movie theater. And I recommend spending, if you're going to spend your money, you know, fly in first class. You know what I'm saying? Go to the best theater at the best time. Get the best seats. Show up early. Sit your fucking ass down. I cannot stand that in this day and age, with all the technology and all the fucking Netflix and all the at-home shit you could do, if you come to see a movie in a theater and you show up late, what are you doing? You're like wasting you're cutting into your own experience. People still do that. Shit just feels so like 1987. You know, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. So I went to go see Emily Blunt, she's great in it. Josh Brolin's always really, really good. It's the director of that film. I think his name is Denis Villeneuve. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he directed that film Prisoners with Jake Gyllenhaal and Terrence Howard and a really good cast. And definitely go check. I have no stake in it. I'm not in it. I fuck with Benicio. And he's just great. And it's about, you know, it's cartel, and Emily Blunt plays the head, like a very successful, I don't know if she's the head, it's kind of vague, like she's an FBI person, and then Josh Brolin is like, they don't know if he's CIA, and then Benicio is sort of a you know, a figure. You don't know, like, what his deal. And she keeps asking, what the fuck is her deal? Who are you guys? And it's some, you know, CIA thriller shit. And basically, it's about trying to stop at the highest, highest level the Mexican drug cartel. And I'm not going to give it away because I really think it's a great film. There's definitely going to be Oscar nominations for this film. It's good. It's exciting. It's got twists. It's fucking intense. It's creepy. It's so fucking intense that when I went into the bathroom after the movie, like all the men in the men's room were looking at each other like, are you a hitman? Are you a cartel? Like, it was just like you kind of like walk out of there and you need like 5 minutes to decompress from going to see this film that I can't pronounce, Sicario. Let's just say it's Sicario. So I'm definitely recommending that movie to the folks, to the people, the Ian Rapoport podcast. What the fuck else was I going to say about movies? Another really good documentary I just saw, speaking of cartel, on iTunes, Cartel Land. Creepy fucking cartel shit, really good story. Doesn't really deal with the drug dealers so much. It deals with the people in this town, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce, in Mexico, taking back the town, trying to fight back, arming themselves because there's been like thousands, literally thousands of killings in these small towns in Mexico. And the people, regular farmers, workers, they're not like teachers, like, and the head of it is this guy. He looks like a movie character. He's a doctor. He's like this suave, you know, probably like 55-year-old handlebar mustached guy named Dr. Morales. He's like leading the people, like, we need to protect ourselves, and they're like trying to fight back against the cartel. And I'm scared to even be mentioning the cartel on the Ian Rapoport podcast because they are vicious, violent, and should I even be saying that? Should I say they're great, good, you know, people? Because I don't want anyone coming after me. But you should definitely check out Cartel Land. And another documentary that's been on Netflix that I just watched that I really thought was really good and interesting. A little slow, so don't expect like fast, action packed, Fast and the Furious type of shit. It's called Burt's Bees. It's about the guy, the man, who created Burt's Bees, which the Ian Rapoport podcast, me, myself, I always, you, if you know me and you see me out in public, ask me, yo, Mike, you got your Burt's Bees lip balm? And I'll whip it out. I always keep some Burt's Bees in my pocket. And this is about the guy who created it and then eventually got fucked over from all of the profit sharing of Burt's Bees. It's on Netflix. It's actually called Burt's Bees. There's a real guy named Burt. It's about his whole life, his whole story. I love this documentary. Very interesting. And it was kind of heartbreaking. And then Burt actually died earlier this year. He's like a loner guy, like a true hippie from New York City. A Great Gatsby, you know, grew up in the town in, where they filmed The Great Gatsby in Long Island, from a wealthy, you know, affluent town. And then this guy kind of just went off the rails and did his own thing and you know, started becoming a beekeeper. True. Started becoming a beekeeper, was fascinated by that, then realized that the bees have honey. Then this woman came into his life who eventually wound up fucking him. And she said, you know, you're good at this. We should sell the honey. Then they sold the honey. And then they started making candles. And next thing you know, they started making lip balm. And it literally started like this about 20-something years ago. And then they made a billion-dollar company. Bubba, not mama. Billion-dollar company. And the guy who created it all, I mean, she was kind of pushing him ahead, but she fucked him, this woman. It's all documented in this film, Burt's Bees. Anyway, I recommend that film and Sicario. And shit, I didn't even know I was going to bring those things up. But I definitely think that you should check out Cartel Land on iTunes, Burt's Bees on Netflix, and go to the theater and check out Sicario, starring Josh Brolin, Emily Blunt, and the fucking always great, unique, and one-of-a-kind Benicio Del Toro. Who, like I said, is a friend of mine, Puerto Rican, plays Italians, Cubans, he does it all. Just really good. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for him and his acting prowess. Just a unique, one-of-a-kind actor, and there'll never be another one. And he's just, you know, just hitting his stride, I think, that he's not even, he hasn't even done his greatest shit yet. I think he's coming out playing, it's a lot of cartel, like, I think he's got a movie coming out where he's playing Manuel Noriega, That might be right. I don't fucking know. We don't fact check, Benicio. I don't know, but I think you're playing Manuel Noriega or Castro or somebody. I don't know. One of those guys, that Benicio is coming out in another film. But right now, go check out Sicario. It's the Iron Rapport podcast. We'll be right back. It's life. You enjoy a few drinks from time to time. Maybe you don't eat what you should. Maybe, like me, you also take medications. All this could take a toll on your liver and health over time. Blucetin is designed to support healthy liver maintenance, performance, and protection from the past, present, and future lifestyle stressors and toxins. Blucetin has a great blend of ingredients that helps rejuvenate and restore liver functions from the sins of your past. Each packet helps provide specific formulas to help you feel your best and get you ready for the next day. It comes in a quick melting mint tablet that actually tastes great. Choose a smarter way to enjoy your life and be responsible with Blucetin to get scientifically designed liver and body support. Go to Blucetin.com. That's Blucetin, Blucetin.com. And make sure you use the promo code Rappaport and save 10%. This is a limited time offer, so check it out now and start living healthy. I'm using it. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. And you should definitely check out Blucetin. So I don't know why I did it, because I usually don't participate in doing these things as soon as they come out. But I bought this new iPhone S for, it's dinging away. I bought this new iPhone S, and I don't know what the fuck this thing does better than the last iPhone. I don't even know why I bought it. I don't know. I thought maybe I'd impress my kids or some shit. But they don't give a shit. I don't know. Does anybody know what the new iPhone S does better than the iPhone other before it? I can't remember the name. Like, this fucking thing, it doesn't look different. As far as I can tell, it can't jerk me off. It can't make me a sandwich. It can't wipe my ass for me. And I don't know why I spent the money on it. But it's... apparently the picture's better, which you know, they keep going, like, the picture's better, like, always the, you know, like, okay, let's say for selfies, I don't want to be any clearer. I don't, like, TMI for photos is no good. Too much information, especially, like, pictures of myself, or G. Moody, like, he looks like shit, I look like shit, so let's just say when it comes to taking pictures of myself or G. Moody, the Black Ed McMahon, or me, the white Arsenio Hall, like, the I Am Rapport podcast, we don't need to be in, you know, true, like, you know, 24 gigabyte, trigabyte HD, so I'm not sure why I bought this thing, or why I spent my money on it, but I do have the new iPhone. And, you know, apparently it does things better than the last iPhone. I just haven't figured out what that it does. I'm not sure what the fuck this thing it does. Like I said, it can't feed my dog and or walk my dog. I don't know what it does. So please let me know what you think of this new device. Fucking, there's all sorts of... blocks and tricks, and it's stopping and starting because the new technology. Fucking iPhone with these. The phones are just getting bigger and bigger, and again, no tricks. I don't see it juggling. I don't see it fucking plugging itself in when it runs out of battery. It doesn't do anything on its own. I'm still babysitting a phone. I'm still addicted, like Chris Rock in New Jack City. And right now, we're gonna call G Monetti, aka the Black Ed McMahon. We're going to get him on the line and see what he has to say for himself this week. He is now in the Boogie Down Bronx Gloom Tomb Studio, which he set up on his own. And remember to break his balls about getting a physical. It's the I Am Rapport podcast coming live. We're international. L.A. and the Boogie Down Bronx. G. Moody.
Oh, what's the deal, man?
G. Monetti.
What's the deal, bro?
Hey, did you see fucking Blake Griffin? Did you see what he did? He in the preseason game, the first preseason game, he did some hot shot dunk, and he hung on the rim in the warm-ups. This is during the fucking warm-ups, and ripped the fucking score clock off the back of the backboard in a preseason game. I said before, we say, cut the shit, man. You're going to hurt yourself.
And now you're disrupting the game with all that foolishness.
Word.
So I told the people that you set up the Gloom Tomb. So now we have three Gloom Tombs. We have the Manhattan Gloom Tomb, the Los Angeles Gloom Tomb, and G. Monetti set up a studio in the South Bronx, Gloom Tomb.
Yes, 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 you're right, my friend.
So this is the first ever, this is actually a monumental thing. This is the first ever broadcast from the South Bronx Gloom Tomb studio. So, you know, what's really good, G. Monetti? What's going on out there, G. Monetti?
Oh man, it's the weather is getting crisp. You know, everything is looking good. Women looking good. Everything is good, yo.
Yeah, how the ladies treating you out there in the Boogie Down Bronx?
Oh man, they're good, man. I just like looking at them, man. They're great, man. You know, I just love it.
Do they ever speak to you?
Nah, man. They don't rock like that. These are New York people. They're fucking mean.
I hear you. So, I don't know, G. Moody. You know, I was thinking.
I got some shit.
Oh, yeah, no, I was thinking, you know, what were you going to say, G. Moody?
Let's start off with the sick fuck of the week.
Oh, do you have one? Because I haven't seen anybody that's really earned it. Because we've said before that we don't just give the sick fuck of the week. It has to be earned. So have you found somebody that has earned it?
Earned it big time.
Who's this fucking guy? Break it down, because this is a little surprise here.
There's a priest up in Washington Heights.
Oh, this shit.
Guy, a tape was sent to the New York Post of him engaging, ready for this, in cake porn. I've never heard of cake porn, right? So he had one of his girls sit on a cake and squash a cake in a thong, and that's how this sick fuck got off.
And he's a fucking priest?
An Entenmann loaf cake.
A what?
An Entenmann's loaf cake.
Oh, it was actually an Entenmann's loaf cake.
Yes, and she sat on it with a thong and stilettos, and this is how this guy gets hard.
You sick animal. You dirty animal. So did they arrest this creep?
Yeah, they threw him out of the church.
Yeah, no shit. They threw him out. They fucking should have kicked him out of a second floor window.
And another picture. The fucking guy had the lady stand on his face. And that's how this guy got off.
Like by physically standing on his face?
Yes. This guy turned my stomach. This is what you fucking do? This is how you get off?
This is how you spend your time? This is what you do with yourself? You couldn't figure out a no other. And you know he had to gradually get to that. People don't just start off with that kind of shit. So he must have done all kind of wild, you know, trial and error shit before this.
Yeah, Little Debbie's cakes and all. He can't go into bakeries, I guess. This guy's sick, man.
So he wins the sick fuck of the week. Well, congratulations, you sick fuck, you.
Yeah, that's it, man.
hey, you know, me and you were discussing, there was a man in Tennessee who stole his boss's car. He was a little drunk. He was a regular guy, like a regular looking guy. A guy named was Hayden some other shit. I don't know what his last name was. It was Hayden some shit. I told you about it. He stole his boss's car.
All right.
And drove it into a fucking lake so he could go to jail just to get away from his fucking wife. Now listen. Now, I know there's some ladies listening to this, and we know that there's a lot of fucking piece of shit men out there. I know that. But we're men, so it's going to be hard for us to point those out is more than it'll be hard for us to point out some of the trials and tribulations that the men go through with some of these wacky broads. Now, if a guy is willing to go to prison just to get away from his wife, what does that say about this lady?
Oh,
he's just like, fuck it. Yo, I don't want to be free. I want to be captured. I want to be held in prison just
So I don't have to, like, so there's no rhyme, reason, or way I have to deal with you anymore. Now, you know that this wife is a real piece of work.
Word.
That's a red flag to just shut it down. That's a red flag to get out of the relationship. You know what is another red flag, people? Young people. If you're ever engaged, men or women, if you're ever like intertwined emotionally and thinking about, you know, having children or getting married to a man or a woman, but let's just say for a woman right now, if you ever come across a woman, a grown woman who says, I've never held a baby before in my life. I had a woman tell me that once and it sent a shiver down my spine because I was like, how the fuck could you be a grown woman and never have held a baby in your entire life?
Damn.
That's a red flag. And so red I know that's flag. Real specific and real random, but if you come across a man or a woman who's over 25 years old and they say, I've never held, do not have kids with them. That means they don't know what the fuck to do with their baby when it comes out of them or when they make
that's
it.
That's right.
You understand? You have any red flags that you want to share, G. Monetti?
A red flag is
I'm an alcoholic and I fucking like it, but do you want to get married? That's a red flag.
Abnormal behavior. Believe what you see. The red flags will always be there. You just have to believe it. You can't rationalize it in your mind. You have to accept it and say, this is a nut job.
And get the fuck out of it. Get on some Carl Lewis, Hussein Bolt shit and run and don't look back. Don't worry. You're like, I know in your head you're like, but I love this person. What if I never find another person? You'll find another person. And they might not be the exact same person and they might not have every quality that person has, but they'll have better qualities. Okay. Because some of these quote unquote charismatic crazy fucks that people fall in love with, they're not good. When things settle down and like everything becomes regular on a regular schedule and the charismatic crazy fucks, it's not as good as it looks on the surface. Like, oh, she's this, he's that, he's so nuts, da 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 da. No, run for the fucking hills. Do not fall in love with charismatic crazy fucks. It doesn't pay off in the long run. Because the charismatic part dilapidates and the crazy just gets bigger and bolder and broader. So run for the fucking hills.
That's it. Red flag, run for the fucking hills.
Yo, and I'm saying on some Forrest Gump shit. Run, Forrest, run.
Word. That's right, man. Yeah, that is right.
And, you know, so I don't know. So G. Monetti, how's your health treating you?
Yo, my house is good. I got a brick guy coming tomorrow.
No, your health. I said your health. I wanted to check in with you about your health. Because, you know, I brought up a few weeks ago that you hadn't gotten a full checkup in over 25 years. And I was talking about it, and I'm concerned about your health. So my question is, how's your health? Not your house. How's your health? How's your prostate treating you?
My health is A number one.
Uh-huh. And how would you know that? I'm just asking. I'm just curious.
I told your ass I went 2 years ago for a checkup.
Where? Where'd you go?
I had to go to get this shit in the Bronx.
Oh, fuck. That doesn't sound good. And did they give you the full Monty? Did anyone stick their finger up your ass? Yes or no?
Oh, no. I would have been swinging joints on that motherfucker.
No.
I didn't go there for that.
You would have been swinging joints, like fighting the doctor if he give you a prostate check?
If I don't tell you to stick your finger, I didn't tell you to do that. And if you do that, we're going to be fighting.
He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you to bend forward, and then he's going to grease up, and he's going to tell you to fix it. And when he says fix it, he means to just loosen up because he has to go in there and see what's going on in there.
Nah, money, nah. I'm good, B.
See,
don't touch me.
Nah, see, I'm not comfortable with that. If you're over 45, you need to get your prostate checked. You need to grease up and fix it and let them do what they do.
No, I heard that they don't have to do that anymore.
You heard it where? The fuck are you talking about?
I heard that you could give swabs now. They don't have to run up in you.
Nah, Duke. I don't know what the fuck you talking about, man. Where'd you hear that?
Yo, one of our followers said you don't have to do that, G Monetti. They got other protocols on how they go.
All right. Well, let's get that follower to resend that, because I didn't get all that shit that I didn't. I missed that tweet. Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. All right, so I'm just asking. I'm concerned about your health. And speaking of health, how's your house? How's the project up in the Bronx? The one man show, the one man wrecking crew show.
Oh yes, it's coming along. I got a brick guy coming tomorrow to give me an estimate, and we're gonna rock it out.
Uh huh.
We're doing good, man.
Okay.
After the brick guy, then we move to the tin ceilings. And then after the tin ceilings, we go to the wood floors and we refinish and polyurethane and make it fresh.
Mm, mm, mm. All right. Well, everybody's hoping for the best possible circumstances for this Gerald Moody, G Monetti, a.k.a. the Black Ed McMahon home improvement project. You know, a lot of people are emotionally invested and they can't wait. Some people have requested that we have a party there. An I Am Rapaport podcast party there, and I hope you'll be gracious enough to do that. You could cook for the people. I know you're very proud of your cooking.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah what?
I would love to have a little, we could podcast from that motherfucker and have people over. I'm with that.
Yeah, we could have like live podcasting from the Bronx Gloom Tomb.
Yo, another question. I wanted to ask you something.
Okay.
I'm watching, since the NFL is in full swing, I'm watching the NFL Network, and they have something, a football life, Dexter Manley, right?
Yes.
It's about how the fuck could this guy go through grade school, high school, college, and not know how to fucking read, and nobody... I want to see this guy's degree. I want to see he graduated from Oklahoma State.
I don't know how he does it.
What the fuck?
Yo, I don't know how he does it. Dexter Manley's like a Hall of Fame football player, and when he was about 26 or 27, he admitted that not only was he illiterate, but that he couldn't fucking read at all. So, like, it wasn't like sorta, coulda, shoulda. There was, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it, how the school system, and he graduated from college?
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson was his coach. Yo, what the fuck, man? They knew. See, this is terrible. You knew. My daughter learned how to read in first grade. You mean to tell me Jimmy Johnson didn't know this fucking guy couldn't read? And yet
I don't understand it. Hey, you know what else is crazy is Louisville. Who's the coach of Louisville? Rick the Cutter, right? Rick the
Slick
Knife.
Rick.
Slick Rick Pitino. Who's the coach of Louisville, famous basketball coach, who also a couple of years ago, what did he get in trouble for?
Oh, he hit a broad. He got naked in Applebee's. He hit a broad, paid for an abortion. Mr. Coach.
Wait. When you say hit a broad, you mean physically or you mean sexually?
No. He was naked in a restaurant having sex with a broad, and she got pregnant, and he paid her to kill the baby.
Yeah, he's one of... Damn. He's one
and
of these...
And he suspends one of his players for a minor transgression, but you won't take yourself off the team for the shit you did.
For being in an Applebee's and freaking off.
Butt ass in an Applebee's.
Well, yo, then you know his... Yo... At least his fuck style is buck wild, but Louisville, the basketball team, is under investigation for allegedly sending escorts to these young kids when they come to the school to get them to come to the school. And I want to say that I could pretty much guarantee you that this absolutely happened, because I'm going to share a story that in 1986, I'm not going to give this dude's name away, but I played basketball at Fairfax High School with a nationally recruited basketball player, top 10 basketball player in the country. And I'm not going to confirm or deny the fact that we were in Long Beach one night, and I'm not going to confirm or deny that we went to a place to get quote-unquote... Now, I'm 15. I'm 15 years old.
Mm.
I'm not going to confirm or deny that at 15 years old, we went to go get quote-unquote massages...
and things got a little bit out of hand in the massage place. So if that happened in 1986, and it wasn't happening to me, I was just the recruit's man.
Along for the ride.
I was along for the ride, and they hooked me up. I guarantee you these allegations at Louisville are true. And what I just told you is 150% true. I was 16 years old. 16 years old in the hands of an older woman. God only knows what could have happened to me. But those were nice soft hands. But Louisville, yeah. What was that noise?
I said, yeah.
And Louisville is under investigation for sending jump offs to these young kids when they're visiting the school. And I would bet my sweet, sweet, sweet money that's real shit.
Yeah, how else are you going to get these fucking guys to go to school? You can't pay them.
Yeah, you can't pay them. And you know, it's true. When they say half of them can't read, it's not their fault. They're not getting taught. They're not being forced to learn how to read.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tricky Ricky.
Tricky Ricky's
at it again.
Slick Rick. Rick the Knife. Like that car salesman, Calipari. Rick Pitino.
Word.
All right, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building a dope-ass website today at squarespace.com. And if you enter the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, at checkout, you get 10% off. Squarespace has a state-of-the-art technology to ensure security and stability so your online information and your online presence is safe and secure. Millions, literally millions of people are already using Squarespace. It's just $8 a month and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. Start your free trial today with no credit card needed. If you don't have a credit card, you can still go to squarespace.com and make sure you use the promo code Rappaport and save 10%. Every single person needs an online presence. It's 2015. Go to squarespace.com. Check it out. We use it at the Ian Rappaport Podcast. I trust it. It's safe, secure. They got state-of-the-art technology. Check it out. All right, so we're in the midst of the NFL season. The NFL, we're like four weeks into the season. And you know, G Monetti is into fantasy, but I'm into it hard body karate. The broadcasts are always the broadcast. I mean, I have to say probably my favorite football broadcaster is probably, I don't know, I like Troy Aikman. I like my man Iron Eagle. I fuck with Iron Eagle. Who do you like?
I like Collinsworth.
Oh, I like Collinsworth.
Yeah, Al Michaels. You know,
Al is good. I like Al. Al got that nice baritone voice.
But I like the sideline reporter, Pam Oliver.
Yeah, she's nice. Right? She's good. She knows what she's talking about.
She's 52, but looks like she's 32.
Yeah, she's bad. Bad
but
meaning bad.
One,
bad meaning good.
There's one caveat that I've always had a problem with. And I'm going to talk to Pam right now. Pam, if you're going to wear a wig, wear it right. It's always falling off the fucking side. It's like her forehead is just like beaming. Put it on right.
Pam Oliver,
please.
Listen, we love you. We think you're beautiful, but you got to fix your wig piece, literally. Like, you got to tape that shit on better. You got to plug it in. I don't know if it snaps, because, you know, some people get, like, snap wigs, where you could literally snap that shit onto your head like a little fucking button. I don't know what kind of device or setup you have, or it's just weaved in or glued on your shit, but you should have somebody. You're Pam Oliver. You should have some sort of assistant or some hair person that's checking your wig piece every single time you go in front of the camera to make sure that shit isn't like falling off your head. Because right now, it looks like you just came out of the shower and you threw a towel on your head. It doesn't look right.
Threw it up in the air and let it come down wherever it fucking lands and then broadcast. No, you can't do that.
Yo, and you know, I want to say, because work took me out of the city of Los Angeles, but we and G Monetti was in the Bronx, but we unfortunately missed the slut walk Amber Rose's slut walk, and apparently 13,000. I guess they're cool with being called sluts. It was a huge success. Amber Rose, who's a friend of the Ian Rapoport podcast, it's a pro feminine, pro anti sexual shaming, anti slut shaming, and it's called a slut walk. And I guess 13,000, mostly women, were going around empowering themselves by reclaiming the term slut and sort of saying, you know, we're sluts and you know, like sort of saying, if we call us that ourselves, that you won't be able to call me that and make me feel bad. So me and G Monet, we had promised to be at the Ian Rapoport, Slut Walk, the Ian Rapoport podcast, but I had to leave town last minute because of the hurricane shit, and I missed the Slut Walk, but I was following it and all that stuff. How do you feel? What's your perspective on this? Because it's been very controversial, because some people are saying that that word has no business in mainstream and it's a terrible derogatory word. I support Amber Rose, and I know what she's trying to do. You have, how old is little Baba girl? How old is your daughter?
Oh, Imani's 10 years old.
Okay, so I don't have daughters. So how do you feel about, because, see, this is affecting her future, because right now she doesn't know about it, but when she's like 2 or 3 years older, she'll know, like, there's this thing called a slut walk, and it might be confusing because of you have a daughter, and that word is a derogatory word, but now they're trying to use it as a word of empowerment. Do you have thoughts on this?
I've already spoken to my daughter about this. The slut is a bad word. You shouldn't be, no one should address you as a slut. I don't care what these people do, but I would have sure loved to see them sluts out there today.
Yeah, well, they were out there in bunches. There was 13,000 people, and I'm glad it was a success, because you know, I fucks with Amber Rose, Hard Body Karate, and we're fans of hers. She supports us, and I wish we could have been there. I'm sure this won't be the first slut walk. There might be one in New York. I heard there might be, you know, it might turn into a national thing, like in big cities. So we'll definitely try our very best to make it to the one in New York, and definitely at the one in Los Angeles next year. And you know, the All Lives Matter and the Slut Walk and all these campaigns that are doing positive things. We at the Ian Rapoport podcast, if you haven't heard, we are trying to continue to do positive things with, in 2016, are having the All Loafs Matter Walk, which is it's empowering men and empowering all men, all shapes, sizes, and the All Loafs Matter you know, walk. It's TBD, to be determined when and where, but as soon as we have the details, we'll get to it, because they're continuing to be massacres. Men are continuing to be, you know, getting their dicks cut. Just recently, another guy, what did he do in jail? A gentleman, this poor bastard, he cut his own loaf off in a prison. And what state did this happen in?
Oh, man, I don't know. I couldn't read any further after, you know, don't these things affect you in a way, because you have a loaf. We all have it. So I didn't know where, I couldn't read it. I just text you.
It was too upsetting. A guy in cut his own loaf off. Obviously, this is a sicko, and I feel bad for this guy. He cut his own dick off and then took his dick and he flushed his own dick down the fucking toilet.
Man.
Yo.
Loafs are being cut, hidden, mutilated. This is outrageous.
It's not fucking hide and seek. You don't cut a guy's dick off and then hide it and then be like, yeah, try to find it, asshole. I got you. This is not that. This is serious, man. Men are doing this to men. Women are doing this to women. And now dudes are doing it to themselves.
What the hell is...
All loafs matter. All loafs matter.
Matter.
This is the Ian Rapoport podcast. All right. Mac Weldon. The Ian Rapoport podcast is sponsored by Mac Weldon. Mac Weldon is a New York City-based company that lives and breathes New York. They make the best underwear, the best t-shirts, the best socks at Mac Weldon. They use great, soft, comfortable, breathable material. It's light. The fabric is great. You could shop online or on your mobile phone and check out in less than a minute. Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable and look good. It's perfect for the guy going for a run or the guy on the run. Use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, for 20% off. You get 20% off your Mack Weldon underwear, socks, and T-shirts, long-sleeve T-shirts. Check it out, Mack Weldon, M-A-C-K-W-E-L-D-O-N. You know what I want to say? I don't see it as much in Los Angeles, but it really affected me in New York, because in Los Angeles, you know, it's a driving city.
Right.
In New York, it's a walking city, and you know, you take the train, you take the bus, you ride your bike, so you're amongst the people, all different kinds of people. The black, Puerto Rican, purple, yellow. But I saw this a lot in New York, and again, it was in all different colors. It's these tattooed, earlobed assholes. I don't know what this is called, but these people that are they get their earlobes, they get these ginormous plates or circles. I don't know what this shit is called.
Oh, fucking tires put in their fucking
like little mini tires put in their ears, and they walk around with these ginormous holes in their ears. And I find it disgusting. You know, one time I went to a barber, my friend Toby from the group H2O, my man Toby, and he got a new album coming out. My man Toby from H2O, they got a new album coming out. I fucks with them. He took me to some barbershop because he's all in that tattooed world, and I got some scribble scrabble bullshit on me that I wish I could get removed. I got my my kids' names on me as if I would ever forget them. Well, I don't know why people get their kids' names on you. If you need to get your kid's name on there for sentimental reasons, then it's really not there. Like, I know, like, when you have kids, like, it's like you're in love with the kids, and you're, you know, like, you're all floating around, and really what it is, it's lack of sleep. Because when you're under that much duress from not sleeping, you do dumb shit like get your kids', you know, faces put on your neck, or your kids' names written all up and down your arms as if you need them shits. As if in 5 or 6 years they're not going to become the biggest snobby pain in the asses, and you want to have that name on you 24/7. You leave the house, the name's on you. It's just because the lack of sleep. I think that's why I did this. I was so fucking whacked out of my tree. But one time, my man Toby took me to this barbershop. And apparently it was the coolest, you know, best barbershop in Los Angeles. I was in between barbers. And this dude was cutting my hair. He gave me a great haircut. But the whole time that he was cutting my hair, I couldn't help but pay attention to the fact that he had these ginormous fucking holes in his ear. And, like, I felt like I could smell the stench in between his ear. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, maybe it was his breath and not his ears, but the combination of the tattoos all up on his face and then the fucking, what is this called, this earlobe thing that they do this? It's like, I don't know what that's called, plating or some shit? I don't know. But I don't know why you get these ginormous things in your ears, and you could fit like a Now and Later through them. You could fit like a Frankfurt all the way through. And I'm thinking to myself, do you not think you're gonna get old? Do you not think how dumb this is gonna be in 30 years when everybody's skin starts to change and sag, and your shit's already sagging because you have like a 2-pound device hanging in your ear, and then one day you're gonna be like, why did I do this? And you can't fix that. It looks terrible, and I swear to God, I think it gives off some kind of odor because the body is not meant to be chopped open like that, and like air coming through your ear, and you're just a tattooed earlobe asshole. Like, I don't get it.
You're a freak, and you ain't got shit. You ain't got nothing better else to do than fuck with your earlobe, put a tire in it. Why don't you just fucking chill? You look stupid.
You look
ridiculous.
You look crazy, man. And you know, and I know everybody's like, oh, it's individual expression. It's gotten out of hand, man. All the tattoos and all, like, the new tattoo is no fucking tattoos. Like, the new tattoo is skin. Like, if you have just regular, like, skin, that's like the fly shit now. Because everybody, including myself. I mutilated my body. I got these fucking scribble scrabble bullshit on my hands and on my wrist. And every time I go to work, I have to get the makeup to cover it up. And then the makeup gets all over my wardrobe. And it's just a never-ending cycle. Any young actors out there, like, from now on, when people come up to me and say, hey, Mike Rapp, yo, you got any advice for a young actor? I'm going to say, don't mutilate or tattoo your fucking body. Don't do that. Start with that. That'll help you get there because, yo, people don't want to see all that shit when you come into an audition. Like, you got all that craziness on you. So that's my new piece of advice. It's not do Shakespeare. It's not, any of these other things. Not go to acting class. Don't fuck your shit up because it's just not good. It limits you.
Word. I hate those guys. I mean, yo, I see them in the street. I'm like, what would possess the guy to put a hole in his ear and put a tire, basically a tire, like Hot Wheels tire in his ear.
You got Hot Wheels in your shit.
Like, you ain't got nothing. You don't got nothing better to do.
You take your artistic integrity and like your artistic creativity and make a collage, hodgepodge some shit. Do something else. Go paint on the back of a jean jacket or something. Like, go paint an Iron Maiden thing on the back of a jean jacket, or everybody likes to paint Iron Maiden on jean jackets. I don't know why, but go do that. And you, speaking of sports, you like that segue? I just fucking changed the subject.
I like how you rock that.
Thanks. Baseball season's coming up, which, I don't give a fuck about baseball, but the Mets and the Yankees are vying for a possible...
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, but then it could possibly be a Subway Series. And I have said from the beginning of this season, I wanted to see my man A-Rod do well. And he's doing well. I said it from the beginning that I don't know much about baseball. I don't follow baseball. I could give two shits. I don't even know how that sport is still in business. I know that I'm in the minority of it, but I mean, going to a baseball game is one of the most boring wastes of time, especially during the day in the sun. And if you have quote unquote good seats, that means the sun will be baking on your fucking head the entire time. And you sit there, you're spending $19 on a Sprite and $22 on a hot dog and like $15 on a pretzel. I don't understand how this is entertaining. And then maybe something may or may not happen, or a pitcher may or may not throw a no-hitter. To me, it's completely boring. I mean, obviously, the playoffs, they get more exciting, but I just don't understand. I really don't understand how the sport of baseball is a business that is financially successful. I don't get it.
And then you might get beamed with a fucking ball and take your fucking eyes out.
Yeah, you might get hit. If you're not paying attention, you're texting or you're eating your $17 hot dog. If you're not looking up, you might catch a fucking foul ball right in your fucking cranium. I don't know. But my man A-Rod is up for comeback player of the year. And I say good. I say fucking good.
Fuck.
What?
Comeback player of the year for what? Cheating? Hey. You can't... You had the longest suspension in the history of baseball, the whole season, and you're coming back from what? You tried to sue the Yankees.
Uh-huh.
You tried to sue Major League Baseball.
Good.
That's why Brian Cashman said, "Yo, shut the fuck up, yo."
I know he said that. I know he said it, but he's coming back from the abyss. They tried to run my man out of baseball, man. A-Rod.
He was on drugs. He was PDs. He lied to Katie Couric. He's doing. He's not the comeback player of the year. You can't get that award based on your behavior.
Well,
you cheated the game.
Well, Sammy Sosa. Turned himself from a dark-skinned Dominican into a not white like me. Like, he turned himself literally into a white Dominican. And nobody's fucking saying anything.
Yeah,
he looks crazy. He looks like fucking Marlon Wayans and White Chicks. Like, he somehow bleached his whole body. And nobody's saying anything about that. Leave my man A-Rod alone, man. I have no problem with him. He came back. He's doing his thing. And I'm glad he's doing his thing. And speaking of baseball, I want to say I really, truly miss... My guys, this is very specific, but I'll make it brief. Rucco and Rothenberg on ESPN in New York. The new guys in there are okay. They're good. I'm fans of them also. But I want to give a shout out to Rucco and Rothenberg, who they took off the air 12 o'clock in New York City. Those are my guys. They taught me a lot about baseball. And I just wanted to say, give them a shout out.
Yeah, man. I'm opposite of you. I love Rucco and Rothenberg. I don't like the guys that they fucking replaced.
Who's that?
They got, first of all, Michael Kay, the Michael Kay Show, Don LaGreca, and they put, Rucco used to be with them, Rothenberg would be with them, now they got another guy who I call Mr. Hip Hop.
Who?
Rosenberg from Hot 97. There's no way he should be there in place of Rothenberg.
Now, fuck, Rucco. Hell no, they shouldn't put, I didn't even know they put him in there, you Mr. Hip Hop.
Yeah, like, everything is hip hop, everything is this, that. Get him out of there. Put back Rothenberg and put him back at 12 o'clock and get Libertard out of there, too.
Yeah, yo, I'm disappointed that they went, man. I'm disappointed that they went.
Those are great guys, man.
Yeah, man, I don't know what the fuck they did. Yo, Mr. Hip Hop. All right. And as always, the Iron Rapport podcast is sponsored by American Giant Clothing. American Giant, American-made sweatshirts, T-shirts, sweatpants, and the best hoodies ever made. The best hoodies ever made. Trust me, I am a hoodie fiend. I don't spend my money on clothes. I do have a large, long hoodie collection in my closet. Go to American-Giant.com and check out why we love all the clothes and activewear at American-Giant.com. And in a couple of weeks, we will have brand new, soft-ass, durable American Giant t-shirts. I Am Rappaport American Giant t-shirts are on the way. Go to American-Giant.com and check out why I fuck with American Giant. From day one, they were the very first sponsor of the I Am Rapport podcast. Yo, I want to do something. I want to do the record of the week. I've been wanting to do this.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
To do the record of the week for a little while. And the record, by the way, speaking of music and speaking of I Am Rapport music, who is listening on Spotify to the Cuff Music Playlist? KKUFF Music Playlist. If you haven't heard about the Cuff Music Playlist, go to my Spotify, Michael Rappaport. It's a public account, and download Cuff Music. Nice soul loaf music. Play it for your man, play it for your woman. Check it out. This isn't a sponsored thing. Go and check it out. But the album of the week, one of my favorite records that always get, I don't know how it's not put as like one of the top, you know, top 20, 25 records of hip hop. It's a great overlooked record, and it's by the Jungle Brothers, and it's called Straight Out the Fucking Jungle. The Jungle Brothers are always sort of forgotten about. First of all, Africa and Mike G and Sammy B. Africa from the Jungle Brothers is very, very, very prolific. First of all, he gave Q-Tip the name Q-Tip. Second of all, he gave A Tribe Called Quest the name A Tribe Called Quest. Third of all, he gave Juju from the Beatnuts the name Juju.
Wow.
No. He didn't give Juju. He gave the Beatnuts. They were called the Beat Kings. He said the Beatnuts. He gave them that. Yo, Africa from the Jungle Brothers, yo, that dude is a fucking genius. And that first album, Straight Out the Jungle, yeah, yo, this album, now, a lot of people seem to have gotten into the Jungle Brothers from their second album, which to me, it was a disappointment. It's got some good tracks on it. For me, though, it was very, very disappointing. It took a long time to come out, and one of the best songs that the Jungle Brothers ever did is on that second album, and it's called Beads on a String. That's some shit.
Yeah.
But other than that, it went too house music for me, and it lost that boom bap. But that first album, Straight Out the Jungle by the Jungle Brothers, Straight Out the Jungle, What's Going On, Black is Black, which Q-Tip from the Tribe Called Quest, that was the first time he was on a record. Jimbrowski is like, songs like Jimbrowski, they don't get made anymore. They just don't get made. I'm gonna do you. I'm gonna do you. I'm gonna do you. I'm gonna do you. Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa.
And then they got into their house music shit because house music was like a thing at the time. It was like you couldn't. It was like hip-hop groups were sort of dipping into house music, which I never fucked with. Did G-Moody, are you a fan of house music?
Hell no.
Yeah, I never got into it. I know a lot of people like house music. I just never got into it. So, but that song, I'll House You, you know, it was good. It was Girl, I'll House You, You in My Hut. Now, we know that. And then after that, Jungle Brothers on the Run, y'all. On the Run, Jungle Brothers. Yep. And then Behind the Bush, Because I Got It Like That. Dope shit, Because I Got It Like
Classic.
Bragging and Boasting. Dope.
Classic.
Sounds of the Safari, not great. Jimmy's Bonus Beat and the Promo. Yo, if this record has 13 songs on it, and 11 of them are perfect.
Word.
Yo.
No doubt.
Yo, if you've never heard Straight Out the Jungle by the Jungle Brothers, or if you haven't heard it in a long time, revisit that shit. The samples are dope. It's true, authentic hip hop. The rhymes are dope. They're smart. There's no cursing. There's no vulgarity. It's got a sense of humor. Mike G, Africa Baby Bam, and Sammy B. Sammy B is on the cut. Yo, that is a fucking great, great album. And the dude Africa and Mike G, like, those dudes are underrated. And that group in general, I know it's like, yo, their second album, it dropped the ball. And then, you know, then things kind of fell apart. It was like, you know, band, industry, label, beefs, 101. And they just never got it, you know, back together. But Mike G, cool DJ Red Alert's nephew. And fuck, I don't know, man. That's a great, great album. You could get it on iTunes. You could get it anywhere. If you've never heard it, check it out. Trust me, it's good all the way through. It's like you could listen to the whole album all the way through. Like 13 cuts, 11 of them are perfection. And two of them, one of them is a classic. I just don't love it. I'll House You. And the other one, Sounds of the Safari, is an instrumental. But it's a dope-ass album, man.
Man. And what struck me when that first came out was these guys were really digging for records, man. And it was like, they found a lot of fly shit, man, and they freaked it, man. And that's what it's about. Just finding, digging for shit that no one has. That's what it really is about.
Yeah, and that dude, Africa Baby Bam, definitely, you know, I mean, he gets overlooked. When you talk about, like, prolific people, native tongues, you know, I believe, I don't know if it was him or Q-Tip, I can't remember, one of them was responsible for naming the native tongues the native tongues. But I mean, you know, I know Q-Tip, when I did the Tribe Called Quest movie, he gives a lot of props to, you know, Africa Baby Bam and just the Jungle Brothers in general. Like, you know, they get a lot of respect within the hip hop community. De La fucks with them. The Beat Nuts fuck with them. Queen Latifah, Moni Love. I mean, Native Tongues is prolific, man.
Yes.
I've asked this question before. If you were to say, G Monetti, Native Tongues or Digging in the Crates, DITC, who's got the edge? I mean, it's hard to say which is better because they're both excellent. It's like, you know, like saying which is, it's hard to say, but like who do you prefer, or can you not pick one?
I gotta side with Big L, Finesse, OC, yo,
Fat Joe,
Diamond D, Buck Wild, yo, they're both dope, but for me, I side with that shit.
Yeah, their music, the musicality. But it was like they sort of took what Tribe was doing, they took what Native was doing and took it to the next level, because they were a little bit after them. I think they were a little bit younger. Both great, but somebody asked me that question. I was like, that's a good question, because both those crews of MCs and beat makers and just that whole thing, DITC and Native Tongues are just, I mean, they're fucking staples of hip hop. Yo, you see this fucking guy, what he did the other day at Dominican Sue? He kicked the fucking quarterback on the Jets in the head. Yo, we talked about Dominican Sue. How do you say his name?
You're right. You said it right. He has a loose screw. We said that.
Yeah, Dominican Sue has a loose screw. Yo, he kicked the dude. Yo, they're going to have to suspend this dude. Like, yo, he's going to fuck around and hurt somebody for real, man. He's kicked dicks. He's stomped on hands. And now he kicked Fitzy's fucking, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I call him Fitzy. He kicked his fucking helmet off the other day for the Jets quarterback. And he does it so slick. And then he acts like he doesn't know what happened. That's a true psychopath. Like, when you do something and then you have no accountability, that's a person that scares me.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. And You know, speaking of football, the Giants brought in Wes Welker for a tryout because Victor Cruz is not playing. And I was saying, Wes Welker, give it up, my man. Give it up. You're going to be foaming in the, at the mouth in a fucking couple of years. You got about 20 concussions on your fucking dossier. Give it up.
Yo.
His wife said, I give him crossword puzzles to try and keep him sharp. Oh, my God.
Damn.
You still want to play?
Damn. Yo, these football players, man, I feel, you know that they're cutting football programs in high schools? You know,
good, man.
Oh, but we love to watch it, though. We love to watch it.
But you know what? I got a solution.
What?
That would end all this shit.
What is it?
Here's a solution.
What is it?
Go back to leather helmets.
Right. And then they won't crash their fucking heads into each other.
Right. You won't view your head as a weapon. I'd like to see the number of concussions that were when these cats were wearing leather helmets.
Right, they weren't doing that shit.
They weren't spearing motherfuckers. They weren't making tackles like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I hear you. I hear you. Like, right.
Go back to that shit. And then, try it out for a season.
And see what happens.
Word.
All right, the Ian Rapoport podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattresses. We love our Casper Mattresses at the Ian Rapoport podcast. Casper Mattress is an award-winning mattress company that makes the most ridiculously relaxing, supportive mattresses sold directly to the consumers. Trust me, I sleep on one every night. The Casper Mattress is available in six sizes and has a 10-year full warranty. 10 fucking years. It's made and stitched right here in the United States. Free 2 to 5 day shipping in the United States and Canada. And in New York City, you could get it the day of. A guy will drive up with your mattress in a box and deliver it right to your fucking house. And if you do not like it, you have 100 nights to sleep on this mattress for free. If you do not like it, they will refund. They will come pick up your mattress for free. 100 nights. Go to Casper.com and save $50 using the promo code Rapoport. R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. Casper Mattresses. We love them. I want to also say, Jeb Bush, we don't need to go into what happened in Oregon with the shooting. It's just, I can't believe this continues to happen and nobody is doing anything. But Jeb Bush, who's the son of a Bush, he's a real son of a Bush. Quoting the great Public Enemy song called Son of a Bush, which a lot of people don't know that song. Not that I'm Mr. Hip Hop, but you turned me onto that song, Son of a Bush. It's a Public Enemy song, and it seems to get better and better with time. Check out the song. Download the song, Son of a Bush. It's also on Spotify. I have it on my Spotify list of hip-hop for the beginners. Stern Show hip-hop for beginners. It's one of the best songs that's been made in the last 15 years. And
yes,
Jeb Bush, you know what he said about the shooting in Oregon?
I didn't hear this. What did he say?
Things happen.
Oh, man.
You fuck you. You're making you're making the rest of your people look good. Like, you're so bad that you're making everyone else who came before you look like they weren't that bad. How could you say that? How could you say some shit like that when something terrible like this continues to happen and people's lives are lost? With guy had a fucking military arsenal worth of guns, and you say things happen?
Jesus.
Another thing I want to say is Saturday Night Live. I watched the opening the season premiere of Saturday Night Live. It was hosted by the little chicken head Miley Cyrus. Who I think is talented. I don't know why she walks around butt-ass naked like her shit looks good. And, like, it's just derogatory the way she carries herself, like a little chicken head. But
bring up the Gun Hill Road. I'll take care.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Like Mr. T said to Adrian.
Yeah, you come on up to take the 2 train up to Gun Hill Road. You want a real man?
Yeah. I'll show you what a real man is.
You want to walk around naked? You want to walk around flaunting your shit? Go up to Gun Hill Road. Ask for G Monetti. Go get yourself a piece of coffee. Go get yourself a cup of coffee in the Dominican Cafe. And G Monetti will treat you real nice.
That's right.
Real proper.
Yes, Lord.
But the season premiere of Saturday Night Live, big disappointment. They made fucking like 25 Donald Trump references. Yo, you need to come better than that, man. This is Saturday Night Live. This is supposed to be the comedic centerpiece of television, and you're making like a Donald Trump joke in every skit. Do better than that. What? I didn't like that shit. And you know, every couple years, Saturday Night Live kinds to refigure itself out and rediscover itself. Yo, you could do better than that. Leave the Donald Trump jokes to the half-ass podcast like this one. You're supposed to be good. It's Saturday Night Live shit.
I saw that the Daily News hired the Caucasian Black Lives Matter leader,
Sean King.
Yeah,
he got hired by the Daily News to do what?
The senior justice writer. This is phenomenal. This is crazy. And he said, I don't know. I've always felt black. I'm asking you, Sean King, a question. What does that describe, that feeling? This is they trying to hijack black our whole shit. So I'm white now. My name is Gerald Eisenberg. Why? Because I say I am white.
Yo, you could pass for white. You could say I've always felt white.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
I don't know what that means. I've always felt black, and I don't know what I always felt white means.
What does he mean by that? And they hired this guy. I'm pissed. I'm incensed.
What about Dolezel? The Summer of Rachel Dolezel. It's a rap. Where is she at?
She should get married to this motherfucker, and they could try to out-black each other in the fucking house.
They could be in there doing a fucking electric slide until one of them fucking pulls Achilles' heel or some shit.
Yeah, who can make the best collard greens? Get the fuck out of here, man. You ain't fucking black.
All right, G. Monetti. Listen, that's it, man. I'm urging you to get a checkup. I'm urging you to get a checkup. I'm begging you to get a checkup, G. Monetti.
I'm going
to
get that. I'm going to get that, yo.
Get a fucking checkup, man.
I'm going to get that, bro.
This is the Iron Rapport Podcast, and we out.